Good morning. Welcome to the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It's your friend James Shaw. Thank you for being here. Happy Monday, October the 6th. It's good to see you, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you if you're on live this morning because you found the Zoom link. You made your way here. We reset it at the beginning of every quarter, so this is the link you'll use for the rest of the year. What do you do? Here's what you do. I don't send out calendar invite. I got an email from someone that said, "Will you please send me a calendar invite to the Pivot Call?" No, I won't. And I won't do that because there's 125,000 people in the Facebook group, and then there are about 5,000 people who register for the call every quarter, and I don't need your yes, no replies. So what do? You put it in your own damn calendar. So what you do is you go into your calendar and you put an appointment, Pivot Shift Ahead Call, 7:30 to 8:30 every weekday, and then you take the link Zoom sent you and you put it in the where section. And then all you have to do is click it, and boom, you'll be here every time. So this is the link we'll use for the rest of the year. I thank you for being here. We do these two masterminds in one. The first half of the call is something that you've asked inside of the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group, which is why I encourage you to ask more questions. You really should ask more questions. You should go inside of Pivot Shift Ahead and utilize that resource of 125,000 people and ask more questions. So that's what we're gonna do at the top part. Then at the second part of the call, top of the hour at 8 o'clock Eastern, we'll switch it up and talk about something that's on my mind. Today, we're gonna be in the Millionaire Real Estate Agent. And as we move from Q3 into Q4, I have a series of questions I want you to consider as we go to wrap up the year. The year's effectively over. At this point, in most markets, by the way, if you have a home that you list today or later, based on current median days on market in the US, recognizing that your town might be different. But median days on the market in the US, along with contract to close time, it's closing in 2026. But you know, you still have some opportunity. So we're gonna talk about reflecting on Q3 and then moving forward in Q4. We'll do that at the top of the hour in about 20 minutes. But before we do that, I always like to answer some sort of question that you've asked inside of Pivot Shift Ahead. Melissa Cummings, cheers to you for going in and asking a question in Pivot. Here's what she says. She wants to master her follow-up game. Quote, "I get in my head too much thinking I'm bothering them. How do I remove emotion from it?" Just remove it. "I don't even want to, quote, bother people I know, much less strangers." Melissa wants to improve her follow-up game. She's got all up in her feelings about it. She is worried she's bothering people. She's worried that they'll unsubscribe. She's worried that they're going to be mean. What's your follow-up play? Help out Melissa. I want to hear from you this morning. What is your follow-up play so that you can get out of the emotion and you can just go do what you're supposed to do? Shannon Dixon, we'll start with you. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for choosing me.
Of course.
Well, I guess my first thought is it's our job. It's our job. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, "Well, I was talking to somebody else, but they would just never call me back," or "they would never follow up. I saw them once and I never saw them again or heard from them again." It's our job to do it. My follow-up play, it kind of depends on their motivation, their time frame. But if it's somebody that's wanting to buy, like right now, buy or sell right now, man, I'm talking to them in some way, shape, or form pretty much every single day, either through text, email, or an actual phone call. You know, further out than I might Not my, I'll slow that down. It's usually twice a week. It just really depends on their time frame. But it's things like market updates. They're on my newsletter. I friend them on social media. After our first meeting, I always send them a handwritten thank you note. I'm just trying to think of all the things right now. But it just depends on their time frame. But again, it's our job to follow up. We have to do it.
It is. It is your job. And that's one way to look at it, is that it's your responsibility to show up and do what you're supposed to do. And then if you don't, then you can't complain when they use somebody else. John Tramble, you're up next. It's by the way, John, one of the rare days that I will be rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs, I believe, play the Jacksonville Jaguars today. Is that correct?
They do.
And the Colts, you know, same division as the Jacksonville Jaguars. So go Chiefs today. John Tramble, you're up.
All right. Okay, well, basically what you and Shannon just said, it is our job. I had a friend tell me that being shy is expensive, and that has stuck with me to where I plan out my week on Sunday to go and plan out my calls, my notes, and my pop buys. So maybe just pick a day, a couple of minutes, and plan out a couple of activities you want to do for the week.
That's a good idea, and lay it out. I like that. Oh, someone just put something good in the chat. I got to go back. Amico, come off mute, Amico. I don't know if I'm going to see you this week or not. Am I going to see you this week?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'll be in Champaign for my campaign, and then Chicago this week. But you said something good in the chat. Elaborate.
So we talked, I can't remember what the topic was a few weeks ago, but towards the end of the call, you were super fired up and you basically said, when we get more concerned about the people outside of our house than the people inside our house, we're missing out on the opportunities that are for us. And so as I've been really trying to dive in and get reconnected with my big why, I've had to push that thought out of my head that I'm bothering people, that they're going to be too busy, that they're going to be upset. And I look at my kids, I look at my husband, I look at my family, and I look at the life that I want to create for them. And I push that out of my head because I have to be more concerned about what's happening inside my house. Forget what's happening outside of my house. I have to be more concerned about what's happening inside my house. And this is how I do it.
It is so true. Do you know that when I was a bold coach, and I'd coach bold until 2020, and I'd have people come up to me and say, James, I didn't do my context this week. And they would tell me this because, you know, in bold at the time, I think they still do it this way. Is it still 100 contacts a week is kind of the standard in bold? But that was the standard back then. And you know going in, right? You know in step one that's going to be a standard. So they'd come up and say, James, I didn't get my context in this week. What's going on? Well, family comes first. Family comes first. And I go, okay, that's fine. No worries. Then the next week, I didn't get my contacts in. Why? Well, because family comes first. I had this happen with the family. And I go, folks, if family comes first, you get your contacts in. If your family comes first, then you do your lead gen when you're supposed to do it. You do your follow-up when you're supposed to do it, because that's how you provide for your family. So if family comes first, you do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. If family comes second, then you worry about you first, which is how you feel about doing the stuff you're supposed to do. It is a decision that you have to make. And maybe sometimes we don't do it because we just lack a system. Like there's no system in place for you to follow up. And so then you don't know where to go. And that's a different challenge. But at some point, you've got to be willing to do the work. You just have to. Barbara Lewis, haven't heard from you in a hot minute. So I'm going to jump ahead to you. You get to jump Dean and Orly and Ira because we haven't heard from you in a while. Barbara, good morning.
Couple of ideas. First of all, those are great shares. But when I like to call people and motivate myself, it's add value. You know, whether it's a home in their neighborhood that came on the market that you want to tell them about, a recent change in interest rates, or an event that, you know, I mentioned the other day, it's a little bit of a hurdle for me to get the events going on, but it's a great reason to reach out to your database. Happy Thanksgiving, you know, whatever it is, just find a way to add value and communicate with them. That's it.
Create a reason. If you don't have a reason, create a reason by putting an event on the calendar and inviting people to it. Barbara, thank you so much. Rebecca, good morning, Rebecca Wells. We haven't seen you in a hot minute. Look what happens when we get a new link. We get people back. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, it's really dark outside, so I'm going to just come up to your packet. I also have two thoughts. I think one of the beautiful things about getting older, James, that I love is that I'm learning it's not about me. So just not taking anything personal. So I understand the trepidation and, oh, I don't want to annoy them or whatever, but it's not about us. So I think that might help you get out of your head a little bit. And if they do respond negatively, which usually does not happen, that says more about them than it does us, I think sometimes. So let's see, I had a second thought, but I forgot it. So that's all.
Well, if you remember it, raise your hand back up. I'll call on you again.
Okay.
When I teach my RISE class, which I'm teaching in Champaign on Wednesday, anyone's welcome to come, Champaign, Illinois on Wednesday, jamesdshaw.com/events is where you can get the links for all this stuff. When I teach RISE, in RISE we do an exercise where I ask, what are some of the concerns or fears you have about lead generation? And people will give me a list. In fact, let's just put some in the chat right now. What are some concerns or fears you have about lead gen? Just put some in the chat and I'll read them out here right now. Just put them in the chat, y'all. Get typing. I don't need sun emojis or asking if you're in bold. Put in What are the fears or concerns bothering them? Don't want to bother them. Got it. Rejection. Are they going to hang up? Are they going to give you no? Getting cursed out. Bad timing. Everyone else is calling them. I'll be irritating them. Annoying them. Hangups. Not knowing what to say. It's been too long. Sounding silly. That's not knowing what to say. All of those things. Now, who are all of those things about? Not knowing what to say, don't want to bother them, worried they're going to hang up on me, worried about getting rejected, not knowing who to call. All those things are about you. But this business isn't about you. This business is about our community and the people around us and the people in our database. And so here's what I'd tell you. If you put in the chat, the reason why I struggle to lead generate is because of these things, you have forgotten the purpose of the business. The purpose of the business is about the people you serve, not you. And if it's about the people you serve, you reach out to them without any expectation that they'd use you. Now, here's the thing I want you to consider is that if you're worried about rejection and not knowing what to say and not knowing who to call, then you don't understand the role lead generation and lead follow-up plays in your business. You think lead generation and lead follow-up is about getting an appointment. And lead generation and lead follow-up is not about getting an appointment. See, if you call someone today and get an appointment today, you didn't lead generate. You got lucky because you just happened to reach out to them on the day that they were ready to transact with you. And so you got lucky. Lead generation is really about them calling you. And they go, hey, Rebecca, it's James. You know what? We're finally ready to sell and we want to reach out to you and see if you would be interested in helping us. That's lead generation. Lead generation is about them calling you, not you calling them. But they can't call you if you don't call them because they don't know who you are if you don't call them. Julie, you need to clip that. That was really good. We need to clip that, put it on the stories because I couldn't possibly say it again.
Block it.
Thank you. So that's the point. You have to be in a flow with them so they'll get in a flow with you. So then it goes to the next level of the question. What's your business about? Making as much money as possible or helping as many people as possible. Put it in the chat. It cannot be about both. It can be about one of the two. So is your business about making as much money as possible or helping as many people as possible? Put it in the chat. It cannot be about both. It has to be about one of the two. Now look at all of you lying in the chat because you're all saying helping as many people as possible, helping as many people as possible. It cannot be about both, helping as many people as possible. See, if it's about people, you'll reach out to them and stay in a flow with them and talk to them all the time. By the way, if you help a lot of people, you'll make a lot of money. So it's the byproduct. If it's only about money, if the business is just about making as much money as possible, then you'll only talk to people if they're paying you. See, but if you want to be in a flow with them all the time so they'll call you, it cannot be about both. Stop saying both in the chat. You cannot have two priorities. You can have one priority. Look it up. One priority. So it's either the focus, the priority is people, or the focus and the priority is money. You have to pick. Now, I believe most of you would say people, but the problem with that is you're lying to me because you only talk to people if they're paying you, which means you're a money-focused person. But if you're a people-focused person, you stay in a flow with them all the time, so you're available to them when they need you, they decide. Follow-up and lead gen is about staying in touch. So when they need you, they'll call you. That's the point. Now, Rebecca, did you think of your second thing?
I did. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, you know, the idea of posing this question means they're thinking about what could be a potentially uncomfortable conversation, which we have lots of in real estate, right? And so I think it's a cool opportunity to push past that and prove to them that you're, or to yourself, really, that you can have those uncomfortable conversations. Because when it comes to negotiation time, you're going to need to have that skill set.
There you go. Lindsay Jones, good morning.
Good morning. I absolutely love follow-up. My entire business is built on follow-up because if I'm not following up, I don't have a business. So to me, it's two different categories. It's the people that have already raised their hand to say, I want to buy and sell with you. That's easy. You just send them new listings that show up. You ask them the timeline to buy or sell, and you kind of create a system around that. And then to me, the other type of follow-up is the people that have already worked with you. And I literally made a hire around this a few weeks ago. She's called my customer care manager, and her job is literally to love on our people. So we've systematized birthdays, what type of person gets what type of gift, like what monetary gift that is. Is it a $30 gift? Is it a $5 gift card? so on and so forth. When they get sick, I send a screenshot. She sends them food. So to me, that's follow up, to be in their lives. And I don't find it difficult. I just needed a really good system around it, which I just put in place. And I really can't wait to see what that does for me next year and for them.
It will pay off, by the way. It'll pay off. The challenge is, Lindsay, it might take longer than you think, but it will pay off. Because only 5% of your database is looking to do a real estate transaction or has a referral every year. And so it takes a while to see the return on staying in touch consistently. But when you do stay in touch consistently, it will pay off over time. The challenge we have is that so many of us want stuff right now that we forget. We just forget. This is a great conversation. I'm glad we brought it up. We're answering the question, by the way, that Melissa Cummings brought up inside a pivot where she said she's looking to master her follow-up game. I get in my head too much thinking I'm bothering them. How do I remove the emotion from it? I don't even want to bother the people I know, much less strangers. And so we're getting some thoughts and things around that today. Allie Rowan, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for letting me share. One of the things I think is important is when you're doing your care calls, if you will either text or call, however you plan to do it. But if you can get them on the phone and just really have a concern really about truly how they are doing, they will ask you how's business. And it sort of opens the door for, well, it's I would always love to be busier. And it just sort of opens a conversation if maybe they start to think about how they, maybe not them, but somebody else could help, you know, help you. So
it's good.
Just kind of staying in front and, you know, when the care calls, make the care calls. The text, whatever. I know it's uncomfortable. It can be, but if they see that you're busy, they'll ask you about your business and it'll open the door. So thank you for letting me share.
You're welcome. I'm curious though about why is it uncomfortable just to check in on people and see how they're doing, especially today? Like I just, when people say that it's uncomfortable and I don't want to bother, has anyone ever been bothered by someone saying you were on my mind and I want to see how you're doing? Like, let's just, we have to change our perspective. If you don't know what to say, then call and say you were on my mind and I want to see how you're doing. Just leave it at that. And then you're in good shape. And then invite them to something you've got going on. Do you like to be invited to stuff? Sure, because it makes you feel included and special. So you call. Step one is you call. Hey, you were on my mind. I was thinking about you. I want to see how you're doing. Then you invite. We're doing blah, blah, blah. We're doing such and such. We're doing who's he who and what's he doozy. Can you come? You don't really care if they come or not. It's not about that.
Well, and oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say one more thing. Even if it's a past client or somebody, you can be like, hey, I was in your area. I was thinking of you.
Just drove by our house, was in your neighborhood.
It's just staying in front of. Yes. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, you got it. So step one is the care part. Hey, you came to mind and drove by your house. I was in your neighborhood the other day. Just took a listing in your neighborhood. Reminded me of you. It doesn't matter. Your last name starts with P and that's the letters I'm calling this week. I don't care what you say. But I was thinking about you. You're on my mind. I want to see how you're doing. Oh, that is so great. I love that. And you write it down. Write it down. Take notes. By the way, we're doing our pumpkin giveaway. We're going to be at the pumpkin patch on Saturday from 11 to 1. I love it. You can't come. That's too bad. I'm so sorry. Hopefully we'll see you next time. That's invite. And then the third part of the call is help. And the help is either where you ask how you can help them or you ask them to help you. And I don't really care which one it is. You can ask them to help you by saying, hey, we've got more buyers than we have sellers right now. There are a lot of people looking in the area. Have you come across anyone that's looking to sell? Or, you know what, as we get to the end of the year, I know a lot of people are curious about what the value of their home is. Is that something that you're curious about that I could put together for you? I don't really care. You pick. If it's a follow-up call to a lead, it's a totally different conversation. If it's a lead that's in your pipeline, hey, how are you? You're on my mind. I want to see how you're doing. By the way, the last time we talked, you told me your plan was to do blank. Is that still your plan? Like, it's just, but the reason why follow-up doesn't happen is because you decide not to do it. And follow-up is a decision. You just have to make the decision. I don't know. Like, you made the decision to get on today. Just make the decision. Dean, thank you for your patience. I wanted to get those voices we hadn't heard in a hot minute. Go ahead, buddy.
Absolutely, man. Thanks. And applaud that very much. And by the way, go Cubs. Fingers crossed.
Yes, good luck to them.
Fingers crossed. I wanted to say that you really got to take the mindset, and it is mindset, guys. It's just a conversation. If you use that mantra every time before you call, it's just a conversation. Nobody's going to hurt you during a conversation. You got to do that. And you got to look at it from the perspective of how can I help them? What is the one thing I could tell them that would be of benefit to them? Not, you know, how great I am as a broker or what I did, or here's my listing. And wow, isn't that nice? What you got to do is you got to see how that can impact them. We sold something in the neighborhood, similar house to yours. If you have questions on your value, I'm very current on it right now. So let me know. So focus on them and remember it's just a conversation. Also prep and have a plan. Write it down. Look at it all the time. Best actors have a script. You can't just ad lib it. Thanks. Let me share.
You got it. Orly, good morning.
Good morning. A couple of tips. So similarly, batch your calls. So first I do my follow-up calls because it's the same conversation to, let's say, those 10 people that I'm calling, which is follow-ups. VIP calls, your past clients, it's the same script. Batch the calls. Practice your scripts. The reason that you're nervous calling is practice what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. Anna Kruger's class is fantastic. 6 follow-up calls, exactly what to say. So if you're prepared and you know what you're going to do, it's so much easier. Gamify it. Give yourself a goal for the day of what you're going to do. Check it off and then you know it's done. And lastly, use your alter ego to make the calls. It's not me making the calls. It's not me being rejected. It's only Orly. It's okay. I get to go home and live my life, but alter ego it. If it's hard for you to do it, pick another persona. If your name is Missy, make yourself Marsha, whatever it is.
Whatever it takes. You all should definitely take Anna Kruger's course on this because she's teaching the right follow-up system. She's helping you understand the right conversations to have. It's a lot of it's on demand. I'll put the link in the chat. 6-month series. It's really inexpensive. NoScriptSalesMethod.com. You should take it. If you're enrolled, you should participate in it. NoScriptSalesMethod.com. Ira, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you very much for letting me speak. Very, very simply, if you're afraid of calling somebody and they don't answer, just leave a message. And Jason Abrams said last week on Gary Keller's Mastermind, when you open your database and you look at someone's name and you cringe because you don't want to speak with them, take them out of the database.
Just take them out. Then you don't have to worry about it. Mignon, good morning.
Good morning. I was thinking, you know, we provide value to our clients, but also to our family. And that value comes by having conversations with people. And when we're able to take our pipeline and look at our pipeline command, if you don't have command, that's fine. But you can still look at the possibility of your potential income. And you look at the families that we are looking to serve, then at the end of the year, you can say, look, I have a pipeline, I've got something to look forward to, or every single day is what I meant to say, is you can look at the pipeline and see what you have to look forward to, and you get to call these people, and you have earned the right to follow up with them.
That's correct. Well, they ended up in your database somehow, which means that they wanted to do something with you at some level, but they'll forget if you don't stay in touch with them. Thank you. Kathleen, good morning.
Good morning. You know, all of this just makes me think of, this happened to me last week, James, that I had skipped somebody somehow in my call up follow up, and I did reach out to them. And guess what? They chose another realtor to sell their house.
That's right.
So that was like, okay, Kathy, you know, get on it. And it's really some of those days where you don't want to make those calls, just eat the frog in the morning. That's something that my first team leader taught me, and feel that you may miss out helping somebody. What if you miss out and they need your help? Gosh, I'd feel horrible. So that was a big aha.
It is, by the way, because they will use somebody. Might as well let it be you. Good stuff. I trust that you all got some good value out of that conversation. Thanks for asking the question. Hey, everybody, what's up? Good morning. It is 8:03 Eastern. It's good to see you. It's your friend James Shaw. And cheers to the 957 of you who figured out how to get on the call this morning. I am so proud of you. We reset the link at the beginning of every quarter. So if you're watching on Facebook or you're watching on YouTube and you want to get on the Zoom, you have to go re-register. It's really easy. You go to jamesdshaw.com, jamesdshaw.com, and you click join our free daily call. It's a huge blue button right at the top. Pops right up. Click it. It'll take you to the Zoom. Go register. Got to use the same email address you use for your Zoom account. That's important. And then Zoom will send you a link that you can put in your calendar and use for the rest of the year. This will be our link until 2026. So thank you for choosing to be here this morning. We had a great first half of the call about follow-up, and I know that's a topic we'll get to again. Today I want to do kind of a reflect on Q3, prepare for Q4, because we're in Q4 now, 6 days in. For a lot of you, The business that kind of enters the pipeline right now is 2026 business. So how do we reflect on Q3 and look ahead to Q4? We're going to use a model that Gary Keller taught us in The Millionaire Real Estate Agent. So if you don't have your book with you, you want to grab your MREA because we'll be in MREA today. But before I do that, a couple of tell me something goods. Bree, good morning.
Hello and good morning. Welcome back. My something good is I got word as of late last week that I am officially a KWU approved trainer.
We are so proud of you. You have been working on this for a long time, and
Yes.
you taught it in Advance last year, which is our business planning event, one of the best six personal perspective courses I've ever seen in my life. We got you a ton of reviews from doing that, and here it is almost a year later, finally got the approval. Cheers to Bree Vaughn Pittman Vaughn III.
Thank
Congratulations to
you.
you.
And James, thank you for your leadership and for just seeing me, really seeing me, and availing your platform for that opportunity. To the team leaders that helped make it possible, Candy Dillard, Teresa Staker, Josh Stevenson, for opening up their MCs for me to teach. And for this community, when I got a chance to read the evaluations from that class, like my heart was on overflow because you guys really see me and it really landed. In the way that I wanted it to. And my accountability partner and now fellow approved trainer, Amber Byers, for answering my questions and being available. So I love y'all so much. Thank you.
So proud of you. Well done, Bree. All right, one more. Adrienne Bailey, good morning.
Good morning, James. Thanks for allowing me to share. Bree, congratulations, first of all. So I am so excited to be back. I was gone last week because I was at Heather George's wedding. So, congratulations to our fishing girl who got married last week. It was a wonderful week celebrating with her and her wonderful husband, Brian. So, that's what I wanted to share this
So
morning.
cool to see so many Pivot people went down there for that, which is really awesome. Shows the power of this community. So I love it. Thank you so much. Well, let's get after it today. I want to thank Matt Cannon and Anna Kruger too for covering for me last week on Thursday and Friday. I'll be here every day this week. So, but thank you to those two for covering last week. That was really awesome. You guys get great calls, and I'm so thankful that you did it for me. Today, I want to talk about something that's out of MREA. As we wrap up Q3 and get into Q4, it's time to reflect. And Gary has given us the model on how to do it. And if you're watching on Zoom or in Facebook, I'm going to share my screen with you this morning so that you can see it, because I think it'll really be beneficial to you. Hold on one second. This is so exciting. Oh my goodness gracious. There we go. All right. So this comes out of page 167. 167 of The Millionaire Real Estate Agent gives you kind of this consultative interview. Now, Gary put it in here as something you would do with your team, or maybe a coach might do with you, but you can do this as self-reflection as well, if you think about it, because you know, I'm not judging where your business is or where you thought it would be. I just want you to get a little bit of clarity about where you are so you can take the right action for what we have left this year. So put it in the chat, and I want you to think about it for a second about, you know, what were the big goals for you in Q3? And it should be something that you can measure. Was the number of listings taken, or number of listing appointments gone on, or closings, or some other metric? But put in the chat some of your Q3 goals and think about what your goal was. And I'd pick, you know, a main goal. And again, for me, I think it would be something I could control, which might be listing appointments scheduled or listings taken. I don't know. You can have more control over appointments and listings taken, but contacts made, I don't know. But you decide, figure out what your goal was. Put it in the chat. Now, if you didn't, by the way, set some sort of super clear goal, like you didn't know, hey, I wanted X number of appointments in Q3, just think about what you had intended to accomplish, because you know, that's the same, similar, right? It gives you an idea as to what was on your mind and what was important to you. The answer to this question, question number two, is how did you do? Where did you land in respect to the goal you had set or intended? So, you know, did you hit it? Did you miss it? Did you exceed it? Put it in there. And this is not an emotional question. This is just a st questions one and two are non-emotional questions. They're fact-based questions. Here was my goal. Here's how I did. So don't overcomplicate it. It's just a we're just doing a check-in, because the numbers, the results tell the story of what happened for you. So put that answer in the chat. How'd you do? Question number three is, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about how you did? You know, you got your numbers, but how you feel about it's another. How do you feel where, you know, based on where you ended up in Q3? You could have been behind, but feel good because you had so many challenges and unexpected issues that came up in Q3. Or maybe you exceeded it and you feel great about exceeding it because of whatever reason. Or you hit it, or maybe you exceeded it, but you actually don't feel so great because you missed stuff that you had hoped to do, and maybe exceeding it wasn't worth it to you. I don't know, but kind of figure out how you feel about it. You know, were you happy? Were you frustrated? Was there uncertainty? Whatever. I think that the understanding how you feel about it shows kind of where your energy is right now and knows how you're feeling about stuff going into the last part of the year. Now look at question number 4. Again, this is on page 167 of MREA, or if you're on the call, you can see it on your screen. Now, based on how you did, what's your goal and what do you need to do now? In other words, do you need to make any adjustments? Do you need to adjust the goal? Do you need to adjust your actions? And get specific. Put it in the chat too. What's an adjustment that you might need to make based on your goal, if any? And be specific. And then I want you to think about these last two questions, about figuring out any obstacles and then what help you might need. So now that you know what you did and what you need to do now, you have to ask yourself, is there anything in Q4 that might keep you from doing what you just said you need to do? And if you need help or training or support, what might it be? Now, I like this. I like Gary's model of this because it's very simple. It's not, you know, me telling you what to do, or you're making the decisions. You're the one who sets the goal. You're the one who determines how you did. You're the one who asks and answers how you feel about it. And then you're the one that decides based on how you did what it is, what's your new goal and what do you need to do now. And then you ask, is there anything that might keep you from doing it and what support or training you might need? You get to decide. This is you consulting you based on asking the right questions. So I'd encourage you to figure out and write down your goal for Q4. And then I would ask you to do this. Make the decision about what is the first action you need to take. What is a simple action that you could take right now that would move you closer to it? Now, I want you to think about it for a second. Q4 might be the toughest quarter of the year. We have like 86 or so days left. 86 or so days left in the year. You know, but you got a bunch of holidays that pop in here. You got Thanksgiving week, you got your December holidays and all the stuff. And it's a busy time. You have less time to do things than you think you do. One thing I would suggest you do later today is go and pull out the calendar for the rest of the year and figure out how many of those 86 days that we have left or whatever it is, how many of those days are actually working days for you. And I bet you it's in the high 60s. That it's just not a lot of time. You got to figure it out. Figure out what's your goal. What was your goal from Q3? How did you do? How do you feel about how you did? Based on what you did, what's your new goal and what do you need to do now? And then is there anything that might keep you from doing it? And is there any support or training you might need? Now, Inspire members, we have a worksheet for you to help you reflect on Q3 and prepare for Q4. It's our quarterly review worksheet. We emailed it to you on Saturday morning, by the way. It's in your This Week in Inspire email. It's another one of the benefits of you being an Inspire member is those different tools that we have for you. So if you haven't, Inspire members, gone back and done that worksheet, go back and look at it. It's in your This Week in Inspire email. But I'd love to hear from some of you as you reflect on Q3 and prepare for Q4. What's coming to mind for you? Josephine, start us off. Good morning.
Good morning. So I had a yearly goal this year of 20 million. And I have never hit 20 million. I've always gotten close. So I set a goal of 5 million a quarter. Third quarter, I hit 5.5 million. I'm currently at 15.5 million for the year. If I close everything on my board right now, I'll be at 19.1 million, which I'm very close. What I learned was, or what I'm going to do for next year is now I think I'll hit my goal this year. I will hit my goal this year. But next year, I want to start earlier and I want to double down and triple down earlier because I've realized that I only have another month. If things aren't under contract by November 1st or November 15th, it's not going to close by the end of the year. And I put a lot of stress on myself because when I roll over January 1st for my cap. And now what I'm trying to do for third quarter is I'm trying to finish third quarter and then going strong on first quarter of next year. And that's just a lot on me. So I think and I can't concentrate on all my charity events that I do between September and December. So next year, what I'm going to do, I'm going to just, like I said, triple down first and second quarter so I can get it all done by third quarter.
It's really smart. First of all, cheers and congratulations to you. You're going to have a record-breaking year in a market that's been challenging and business overall is flat across the country. So Josephine, I'm proud of you. That's number one. Number two, it is 45 days. The median right now for contract to close is 45 days. Now, for you, it might be faster. I don't know. But that's the median average, or the, not the median average. The median in the U.S. is 45 days. So that November 15th number is spot on, right? It's that November 15th to close by the end of the year. The median days on market in the U.S. right now is 62 days. Now, again, in some of your towns, it might be 17. But the median days on market, 62 days. We are so close to 2025 already. We are so close. So then the next question becomes, how do I make sure I'm there? And this one, I know this stresses some of you out. And I'll get text messages. James, every time you teach me this, I get anxiety. I'm not responsible for your emotions. So I just am here to tell you the truth. You want 10-ish, maybe 15% of your 2026 goal pending on January 1. Like that's you're working now to prepare for 2026, which is good. Now, Josephine, you said you want to double and triple down. That is something we're going to talk about next week in Pipeline Power Week. That is our first ever Pivot and Inspire Challenge. Pipeline Power Week is next week. Pivot in the morning, 8 o'clock Eastern. Inspire members, noon Eastern. Every day next week, we're all in on making sure that you're doubling and tripling down on the right activities, not the wrong ones, to set you up for next year. So join us for Pipeline Power Week. Jessica Starr, good morning.
Good morning. First of all, congrats, Josephine. You will hit your
goal. Thank you.
She will, no doubt.
And also those charity events, don't think they're going to distract you. They actually will bring you more business. So I think that's what you should really focus on, how much more business they're going to bring you. But I love this time of year. This is my favorite time of year because I am so darn busy with four kids in school and all our charity events, all our community and client events and all the things and lack of days to work, right? On top of all the training that we have coming up. With, you know, advance and everything else that we have too. So I think about this and I'm like, okay, I do better in sprints and small chunks of time. So I love looking at the calendar right now and really breaking it down into micro challenges for myself to see what I can do, even if it's just like, hey, I got to get two listing appointments by this time, by this day, so that I can hit X. I don't allow myself to take that vacation, that trip, that break until I hit that goal, no matter what that is. It's a non-negotiable, but I have to make that a non-negotiable because it's tied to my goals, whatever those goals may be, right? So if your goals aren't big enough, you're not going to strive to hit them. And I, like right now, James, I'm sitting here thinking, what are my goals for next year? I need some inspiration to help create some new goals around what I want to do, because I think at some point you get a little flat and what those goals might be. You might hit a lot of those goals and need some more inspiration to do that as well. And, you know, obviously we love giving back and that kind of thing, and that fills us up too. But I want some more inspiration around the goals because units and volume don't necessarily drive me anymore, which was a huge thing for me. And that was really, really great. But at the same time, like, where else can I help and make an impact? I think that's what's going to drive me a little bit more. So I need some coaching. I need some help and accountability, friends. And I'm coming to you, my Pivot friends and community, to help me do it. So that's what I'm going to put out there, because I have to make my goals coming up too.
It's a great focus, right? And again, it goes back to something we talked about in the pre-show. Is it about helping as many people as possible or making as much money as possible? Units and volume is a money-driven goal. And so think about how do you switch it to impacting your community and helping people? It's a great question, Jess. Thank you so much. John, good morning.
Good morning. For me, I hope I'm on topic here. I think the underlying factor for me regarding any goals, anything, has become clear to me that it's preparation. And by that, I mean, some of this stuff has come up. So I do a lot of door knocking. When I have spent the time to think about what I'm going to say, prepare materials to bring people, and most importantly, prepare myself physically and mentally for getting to that doorstep, knocking on the door, ringing the doorbell, whatever it is, and being willing to play the rest. And by that, I mean say some words, opening fact question, I think that's the one, and then stop. Don't say anything. Let them start. Let them talk and work from that. And, you know, little things like that and where my hands are important things for making me feel comfortable and making them feel comfortable and hoping that I have a, you know, more impactful conversation with people, which helped me to actually get some business done rather than just writing down words that are meaningless as a goal.
Have purpose behind it, John. That's the bottom line. Just have a little purpose. Regina, you get the last word this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Sorry about that. You know, this time last year, I had my whole year set up of doing, you know, 40 some transactions and 12 million in sales. And then at Christmas time, my daughter-in-law announced she was pregnant. So I had to shift a little bit my goal because they live up in Wyoming and that's an 8.5 hour drive for us. So what I did is I tried to focus on my goals of having 36 transactions done by September 1, because the baby was due in September 6. Unfortunately, or fortunately, I had all these listings, but I had no buyers. And I really focused on buyers in like July and August. I managed to get 7 contracts closed by August. And in August, and the baby came early on August 22nd. So I missed my goal. I had like 11.4 million. My goal was 12 million. So maybe I set my goal too low, but I had 11.4 when that by the end of August, I had 7 closings in August. We also started Bold, and I realized in order for me to figure out my plan for the next 5 years, basically, to be able to be part of this child's life so far away, I needed a coach. And now I have somebody that's accountable, I'm accountable to her. And the last thing in the world, I have a call with her every Friday morning. I do not want to go in and say, I didn't hit my numbers, because that would be really bad, right? And so I've been, you know, this past week, I got 2 under contract. I got another agency signed yesterday. And so it's just that accountability piece and staying focused and doing what you have to do in order to meet that goal. And I am doing whatever I can to make sure that I'm setting myself up. And I think that's, you know, you can go back and go, oh, what did I do? What did I do? But you have to get into action. And that's exactly what's happened this year. And it's been really, really great.
It's a decision. The bottom line, by the way, Regina, you're doing awesome. It's a decision. And every single one of you has a decision to make. And that is, what's your focus going to be Q4? I don't really care about whatever happened. Reflect on it, just like we did. We went through the things to reflect on this morning, but don't get too lost in it. And then just make a decision. Here's what I'd like to accomplish in Q4. You can have a new start line whenever you want. Here's what I want to accomplish in Q4. Make it something easy and measurable. Pick up one thing. And then ask yourself, what's going to get me closer to that? And then make the decision to go do it. And then be willing to do it long enough to get the result. It won't happen overnight. In fact, you may do everything you're supposed to do all of Q4 and go into 2026 feeling like you've made zero progress whatsoever. Because it just takes time, but you're good. The first decision you made was to be here, and that's a smart decision. Most of you are Inspire members, that's a smart decision. Most of you watch the Wednesday webinar, that's a smart decision. Most of you go to stuff that's gonna help you get better in your office, that's a smart decision. Make good decisions, do the right things, and you'll be in good shape. Thanks for being here today. Hey, I put the link for Pipeline Power Week in both chats, pipelinepowerweek.com. PipelinePowerWeek.com. It's open to everybody. It starts next week. A pivot call every morning at 8 Eastern, and then an Inspire-only call every day at noon Eastern next week. PipelinePowerWeek.com. Thanks for being here. Go get after it. You got your inspiration. Go open in the perspiration, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye, everybody.